Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
Before I even look at Hebrews, come back with me to Romans, because this is a verse that I use so often when we teach the Old Testament or even the four Gospels, where Paul writes so distinctly. Romans 15, verse 4. And as we study the book of Hebrews, keep this verse uppermost in your thinking, that even though it's written to Jews, there is so much that's in the book of Hebrews for our learning. And always remember, too, that once we get into Paul's doctrine of grace, there is now no difference. And so even though it is directed to the Jew, it is also directed to us. So Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime. Now that naturally goes primarily to the Old Testament, but I think even the Gospels were written before Paul's letters. So I think we're safe even in including the four Gospels. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, now as believers in this age of grace, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And you remember I've been using over the last several months those two verses in Peter's epistle, where Peter admonished his readers, which were also primarily Jews, that they were to go to the epistles of Paul if they really wanted to find the plan of salvation. And then in that next verse he says, in which are some things hard to be understood, but that there were those who were ignorant and would twist the Scriptures. And that's where he makes it so plain that even Paul's letters then are included in that word Scripture. All right, now then I think we can come back with that as an introduction, that we're going to study the book of Hebrews, realizing that it was written first and foremost to Hebrews who were having a hard time making that break away from Judaism and into this tremendous gospel of grace. But it is also a book that is for our learning. All right, now we spent a little time in our last taping in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. But after Jerry sent me the transcript of it, I thought, my, there's still so much that I didn't even scratch the surface. So I'm going to look at verse 3 again. And we're going to dig out even a little more than we did before. All right, let's just start at verse 1 so we can pick up the flow. Because in verse 1, of course, chapter 1, we pointed out that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son. The Son. And it was in the Son that God completed the plan of redemption. It was through the Son that our sins were purged. And then He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, never again to be humiliated with the death of the cross, but that had all now been accomplished. All right, so the therefore goes back to chapter 1. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, and lest at any time we should let them slip. In other words, we have to be sure that we hang on to these things that God has revealed to us and that we have appropriated by faith. Then verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, which was a reference, of course, to the Ten Commandments, and we made the point that I think there are two places in Scripture where the angels are included in that giving of the law. Now, normally we don't think of that. We think of the law as having been written with the finger of God on the tables of stone. But two different places it says that it was given by the work of the angels. All right, so this is what Paul is referring to again. So if the word or the law which was spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now I got to stop there and remind you. I think I made the point of it when we were teaching it. I've always made the statement that the law was, what's the word? Severe. The law was severe. There was no circumventing it. There was no compromising it. The law said if you were caught picking up sticks on the Sabbath, what was the punishment? Death. And all the way through, there was no twisting it or compromising it. And so this is what he's reminding us here, that even the law, which was given by the angels up there on Mount Sinai, it received a just recompense of reward. In other words, God is always true to His own word. Now, verse 3. Here's where we're going to spend at least a program, maybe even two, on these next three parts of verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, I'm going to take three parts of that. How shall we escape? That's part one. If we neglect. And the third part is such a great salvation. Now, you see, if I were the kind that set up a three-point sermon, that would be it. A three-point sermon. How shall we escape? If we neglect so great a salvation. And I think if nothing else this afternoon, if you can remember these three aspects of this verse, we will have accomplished something. All right, just look at the first part. How shall we escape? Well, escape what? Come back with me now to Malachi chapter 1. Now, that's the last book in your Old Testament, so that's real easy to find. Malachi chapter 1, and this is the question that we're going to answer. How shall we escape? Now, of course, the we is speaking of the whole human race in general. Yes, it's written to Jews who could not make up their mind to come on in. But it's also written to unbelieving Gentiles, which, of course, we were. See, we can never just take ourselves out of the picture because we were. Now, of course, as believers, we've already escaped it, haven't we? We don't have to worry about the indignation or the wrath of God. That's all been laid on Christ for those of us who believe. But we're still part and parcel of the human race who, in one way or another, were faced with this something to be escaped. All right, Malachi chapter 1, verse 4. Now, remember, this is Old Testament, and we're still dealing with the tribes surrounding Israel, and in this case, it's Edom, the offspring of Esau. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation for how long? Forever. Forever. Now, that's a blanket statement, not just for the Edomites, but for all those who have rejected God's offer of salvation. All right, now I'm going to take you into Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And this is just two of the many instances when Jesus spoke of the doom of the lost. I think you've all heard at one time or another, maybe even from your own pulpit, that Jesus spoke far more of the eternal destiny of the lost than he did of heaven. A lot more. And I'm just going to give you two of them here that are real easy to find. In Matthew 25, I haven't even found it myself. In Matthew 25, and drop in at verse 30 first. And this is Jesus speaking. If you got a red letter edition, it'll be in red. He is speaking during his earthly ministry. And now I guess maybe I should read 29 as well as 30. Verse 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, he shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Now verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that includes the lost of all the ages. Now you can come across the page, at least in my Bible, to verse 41. Same chapter, 25, and now verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Plain English? Can't get any plainer than that. That is the future for the lost of the ages. All right, now then come up to Romans, if you will. All the way up to Romans. Romans chapter 2, verse 3. Romans chapter 2, verse 3. Now this again is from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Romans 2, verse 3. Wait till you find it. I just had somebody call again yesterday and thanked me for waiting until you find the scriptures. Because after all, that's what we want people to do, is to see it with their own eyes. Don't go by what I say. Go by what the book says. Romans 2, verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them who do such things? In other words, a pharisaical type individual. It says, I wouldn't do like they do. So he says, thinkest this, O man, that judgest them who do such things, and you do the same, that thou shalt, and here's our word, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And of course the answer is obvious. Of course not. Of course not. They will not escape. All right, 1 Thessalonians is the next one. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to start at verse 1, but verse 3 is where we'll find the word escape. But let's just start up there at verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. All got it? But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In other words, his coming. Verse 3. For when they shall say, peace, safety. What does that sound like? Well, that sounds like the politicians right now today. See, oh, they're trying to bring in world peace. And so when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. They're lost. See? All right, now let's go on into Hebrews and go a little further back than where we are in chapter 2. And let's go all the way to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll use verse 30 and 31. And remembering the whole theme of these verses is that the lost will never escape. If they leave this life never having cashed in on God's offer of salvation, they are doomed. They will not escape. And this is the reason. Verse 30 and 31 of Hebrews 10. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. Now we got to stop and ask ourselves, how can God say that? How can God say some of these things? Well, you see, the reason is that when he finished the plan of salvation, when Christ suffered at the hands of those Roman soldiers, and even as he went down the road to Golgotha, And they laid the heavy cross upon him, and he fell under the weight of it, suffering every step of the way. And then that was only just the very tip of the iceberg compared to when they nailed him to the cross, lifted it up, and then the epitome of it all was not just the physical suffering, but God laid on him the punishment and the wrath of God that would take away the sin, not just of the small percentage of believers, but for the whole world. The whole world was laid on him. That was the suffering that he accomplished on the world's behalf. And then God turned right around, and through the power of his resurrection and the power of new life, offered it freely to the whole world. Free. Free. And that's grace. Now, after God has done all that, and then lays it out to be had free for nothing, and men walk it underfoot, do you think he's being unfair then by coming back with the vengeance and the wrath that is promised? Of course not. Be reasonable. See? We have to be reasonable. He's already paid the sin debt. It's all done. But mortal man will not give in. All right? And so consequently, verse 30 and 31 of Hebrews 10, "For we know him who hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people." Now, of course, first and foremost, we're talking about the nation of Israel, but we're talking about the whole human race. In fact, keep your hand here, honey. Come back to Romans. I hit these verses as they come to my mind, you know. You heard me teach long enough to know that. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Maybe this will help us understand what I'm talking about Hebrews all the time. Yes, it was written primarily to the Jew because that's what it says, to the Hebrews. But listen, we can't just say, oh, well, that's not for me, that's for the Jew. No, we're all in the same boat now because God has reached out beyond the nation of Israel and the whole world is now part and parcel of all this. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Romans 3, 19 and 20. All got it? "Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith," and this, of course, the Mosaic system, "that whatever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law." Well, now, I think every one of you in this room know who was under the law. Israel. Israel. The rest of the world didn't come under the Mosaic law. God didn't expect the Babylonians and the Egyptians and the Greeks to come to temple worship. That was only for Israel. They were under the law. But, now read on, "it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become," what? "Guilty." Now you see how plain that is? Yes, the law was given to Israel. And Israel was expected to abide by it. Not the rest of the world. But the condemnation of the law went to every human being, not just Israel. You see how it reaches? Yes. For those who were under law, it was a system, it was worship, it was a modus operandi. But the condemnation of the law went to the whole world, not just Israel. All right, now if you'll turn back with me with that as a backdrop, come back to Hebrews again, chapter 10. And so for it's the whole world, not just Israel, who are now under the anathema and the wrath and the vengeance of a holy God, because he made salvation possible not just for Israel, but for the whole human race. All right? Verse 31. Consequently, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You know why? Because He can do what He says He'll do. He is all-powerful. He's sovereign. And He will keep His word. And when He says that the lost are going to suffer indignation forever, you better bet your last dollar that it's going to happen. Because He is sovereign. He's the one who has spoken it. And so all of these references are merely to show us that, yes, God is a God of grace. God is not willing that any should perish. But when they reject His offer, then He has every right in His sovereignty and His holiness to bring about their doom and their judgment. All right, let's go a little bit further in the few moments we have left. Come all the way back now to Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. And I'll never forget, I was teaching one Sunday morning in a church in a state a long ways away from Oklahoma. And it was one of those times where I got up to teach, and it was supposed to be a whole hour. I got up to teach, and I just didn't know where to start. I was just sort of standing there dumbfounded. And in order to sort of get a trigger as to what I should be bringing, a gentleman in the back of the room said, "Well, Les, you're always talking about that we're under grace. It's faith plus nothing, without works. Then how do you explain the word works in Revelation 20? Well, I was just dumbfounded. And I said, "Do you realize what you're opening?" Well, I didn't give him time to answer. I said, "Let's turn to Revelation 20. "Well, that's the great white throne." Well, one of those gentlemen afterwards came up and he said, "Les, we haven't heard hellfire in this church for 50 years. I said, "Well, he opened it, I didn't." But here it is, see? And it's true. Hardly anybody touches this anymore. They don't want to hear it. Because it is. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But here we are. Revelation 20. This is when all of this will come to a head. When all the lost of all the ages, from Cain on up to the last human being that comes off the earth, will be meeting at the great white throne judgment. And starting at verse 11, only got 2 minutes, so we'll have to move quickly. And John writes, "I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them," that is, the earth and the universe. "And I saw the dead." Now we know that these are the lost, not the believers. There will be no believers at the great white throne. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." So they've been resurrected, of course, and they're going to be standing before Him bodily, with a body not fit for bliss and glory, but a body fit for their doom, the lake of fire. All right, and then the books were opened. And the book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged out of those things which were written in the books. In other words, the record of their deeds in their life on earth. And then, verse 13, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it." In other words, nobody is going to miss this that's lost. Every lost person, from the very beginning of the human experience until the end, is going to be brought up before this great white throne. What a horrible place that's going to be. And Christ will now sit as the judge, not as the Savior, because He has been pleading with mankind throughout their whole lifetime, remember. But now the judge judges them out of the books. And then verse 15. What a horrible statement. And that's why most people try to avoid it.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.